Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Elsa Kurt Show with Clay Novak. I think that's like the first time I gave like a full actual intro like that. So weird.
I think you're right. I think so.
That bizarre. I just assume everybody knows who we are. How are you?
You never know. Hopefully new viewers every time.
Exactly. Yeah, even though it says who we are somewhere on there, maybe people are like, who are they? What are they? Now they know. Anyhow, we've got a nice, fun, lighthearted show for everybody today. Yeah. We figured you're all inundated and bombarded with, bad news and negative news and holiday stress, right? So
yes. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So we're going to give you a break from that, right?
Yeah. On me last week, which was fine. I'm gonna let Clay figure it out, which is, it's all good. So I think we had a lot of fun doing the questions back and forth a couple of months ago. So I decided, and I dropped it on Elsa yesterday, turnabout's fair play, that we're gonna do the kind of 20 questions holiday edition. One rule, you get one political question, that's it. So we're going light on the politics.
Yes, very light, but we have to, it wouldn't be us if we didn't do something. Okay. So I like that. I thought that was perfect. So that's what we're going with right after this. Oh, yes, indeed. So we are playing a fun, fabulous game of 20 questions with Clay and Elsa. Yay, us!
Holiday edition.
Yes. Which I love. I've gone through this cycle throughout my entire life of loving the holidays, hating the holidays, loving the holidays, hating the holidays. And it's been this roller coaster. And we are in the era of loving the holidays. So it might have something to do with those grandbabies. Whatever the case, it's all good. I love it. Yeah. So, who wants to start? I think I might have started last time, so I'm having you start this time.
Okay. All right. Since you are in the holiday mood. Right. You're a very holiday lover right now. So traditional, what is your traditional Christmas meal? Do you do traditional or you do something funky? Are you like a turkey or a roast beef kind of a thing? Or
Different? So sort of traditional. So growing up, I spent the majority of our time. So as we all know, I've told you a million times, I'm German and Cuban, and the line is very distinct. My grandparents, from Germany, from Cuba, and so each household obviously has their cultural dishes and everything. So Christmas Eve, we would always go to my the German grandparents, and we actually literally did have, I know people joke about this, but we had sauerbraten and dumplings and gravy, and so that for us was a very traditional meal. But my grandmother always did everything super extra, and she wanted to make sure she had everything. So she actually did have I don't remember if she had turkey, but she definitely had ham. So there was something for everyone. So semi-traditional. I carried that when I did Christmas at our house for a little while. I carried that on and did the sauerbraten and did all of the things that she did. And then at some point, I think they just politely told me that they don't really like sauerbraten. And if you don't know, it's basically a roast in a sour gravy, which sounds horrific when you say it like that, but it was so good. It was just so good. And I think I'm tempted to make that again this year. I think that might happen, but we're not hosting. So sort of traditional.
Yeah. Traditional is in the eye of the beholder, I guess.
You are right though. Like ham, turkey, those are like across the board traditional, I think. Right.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. We used to, very similar to you. So we would go to my dad's side of the family on Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. And then we would go to my mom's side of the family on Christmas Day. We would do the Santa Claus Christmas morning thing, obviously, at our house. So it was, and then when I was really young, my dad's family on Christmas night would also, his extended family would have a party. So it was like grandparents on Christmas Eve, our house Christmas morning, other grandparents on Christmas Day, and then dad's extended family Christmas evening. So it was like 24 hours of just you couldn't eat anymore. It was impossible.
No, yeah. So true.
And so we would do all kinds of things. So like you said, we would have roast and those, all the traditional kind of stuff. My mom's, side of the family is half Irish, half Italian. So we would have, you know, bits and pieces of everything. But it was just food, 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 and more food. That was always the thing.
Oh, that's my favorite part. Honestly, like if you said, it's not a question that I have, I'll crack up if it's a question that you have, but I just thought of it offhand. Like, but if you had asked, or if somebody were to ask me, Christmas or holiday food or presents, I'd pick the food any hands down all day, any day. Like I figure as an adult, like I'll just buy whatever I want. Yeah. And I don't mean that in like I don't mean in that snotty, you know.
I'm the worst person to shop for that exact reason.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know. Adulting. It's like, I will say I get very excited, like pajamas. If somebody gifts me pajamas and like warm, fuzzy socks, it is sheer joy for me. So I'm so easy to buy for. I'm so
win-win.
Easy.
There you go.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not going hint, hint, anybody watching or listening. No, I'm not saying that you should send me pajamas. We're good. Don't. We're good. Cause that could get really creepy, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. What have I got for you? I'm going to keep it. I've got like one that's a little complex, like a little deeper, but we're going to start light. Best Christmas movie and worst Christmas movie in your opinion.
Okay. So you kind of got me. So I have a couple of Christmas movie questions myself. My favorite Christmas movie, and it is a bit of a tradition, is Christmas Story. Love it. Better BB gun. It's on whatever network it is, on streaming or on cable. They do the 24 hours. I'll watch it 3 or 4 times. I can quote the movie almost the entire thing. I love it. It's fantastic. There are enough bad Christmas movies out there. There's so many versions of, you know, the Scrooge story of every kind, that it's just so worn. I particularly am not a fan. I like Bill Murray, but his version of Scrooge, I was not a fan of. But yes, for me, Christmas Story.
No, I want an official red undercover knife. Should you want to check with my Lee Rifle?
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
Number one by far. I love it. Love every bit of it. And if you haven't seen it, they actually made a sequel. It was out not that long ago. And hilarious. Absolutely.
I want to see that. I actually really want to see that. Yeah. I can't believe I haven't seen that. That's bizarre to me that I haven't seen that, but yeah.
That's a fun one. Okay. So staying on the movie thing, I'm not going to ask you your favorite, but the all time Christmas question is, Die Hard a Christmas movie or is it?
Yippee-ki-yay, mother.
I'm going to say yes, even though I believe, and I could be wrong, even though I believe Bruce Willis himself said, no, it is not.
He says no. Yeah, you are correct. Yeah.
I am going to disagree with the star of that movie and say, yes, it is. And you know, I've heard all the arguments for and against, but it is set at Christmas time. It's a Christmas party, right? Isn't it? It's a Christmas 100%. Corporate.
Yeah.
Christmas party. And yeah, I mean, I get it. It's violent and, you know, action, adventure, blah, blah, blah. I'm sticking with my answer. I say yes. And I won't fight anybody over it, but I'm like, that's the hill I'm going to die on, guys. Die Hard is a Christmas movie. No, I feel like it is, but.
And oddly enough, Lethal Weapon, the original Lethal Weapon, also Christmas time. And the original Rambo movie, First Blood, also Christmas time.
Did not know that. Either one. I don't think I realized either one. Interesting. Fine. Yeah. They're coming in too. They're Christmas movies starting as of right now. I'm calling them Christmas movies.
They're all Christmas movies.
They are. If, you know, if it's wintertime and anything Christmas related happens in it, it's a Christmas movie. End of story.
There you go.
All right. Let's see. What have I got for you here? Let's see. Eggnog or hot chocolate? Or neither.
So I had the eggnog yes or no for you. I am an eggnog fan. I am, you know, I don't, it's not a secret. I don't drink anymore. Normal eggnog right out of the fridge, right from the grocery store. Love it. It's so thick. It doesn't matter. I'll eat it. I'll dip cookies in it. Like I love eggnog. And I actually even used to like, you know, with brandy, or there were even a couple of, you know, whiskey or bourbon makers who used to make pre-made, like you, I think, yes. What's the one? It looks like Jack. Evan Williams. Evan Williams, mm-hmm. which looks a lot like Jack Daniels. They made pre-made, like it was like a liquor bottle, fifth of of eggnog with the bourbon right in it.
Yes.
I'm an eggnog guy. I'll take that every single time.
I'm with you on that. My grandparents, the Germans, always got this, and I think it was German, but it was, I don't know what the kind of liquor was in it. Maybe it was like some kind of bourbon or whiskey or something. It must've been actually.
Brandy, maybe.
Maybe brandy. Yeah. And they had it every year. Now I might be making this part up and confusing it with a different bottle, but I could swear to you, it was a blue bottle. So if anybody's watching this or listening to this and you hear me talk about this and you know what this eggnog, what the name of it, the brand, the whatever, if you know, I am begging you to put it in the comments and tell me. What I remember was that it was in a beautiful blue bottle and it was so good. And I was a kid at the time, but my grandfather would pour in this like little, they had like these little eggnog cups meant specially for eggnog. And he would pour a little for us to have in there. And it was so good. And I've never forgotten it, with the exception of the name and the brand, and if that's even accurate. So somebody has to have that answer in the comments. And I hope that you do.
Blue glass bottle.
Blue glass bottle. Yeah. So yes. So well, I don't know. Maybe somebody will give me the Christmas gift. Yeah, somebody's gotta know, right?
Somebody out there knows. Guarantee there's some liquor connoisseur out there that is gonna go, oh yeah, of course. And they'll get it. You'll find out. Somebody will get you.
That'd be amazing. That would be so cool.
Christmas for Elsa. So I had, you know, I said my mom's side of the family, half Irish, half Italian. My grandmother is the Italian, and she used to do the batches and batches and batches of cookies, and not just one kind of cookie. They were all the homemade, you know, traditional Italian, mostly Italian, but just Christmas cookies as far as the eye could see. There were Tupperwares stacked, you know, in the front coat closet, full of cookies. And I was a fan of, she made the chocolate clove cookies, love them. That was always my favorite, but Christmas cookie, what's your favorite Christmas cookie?
Oh, okay. This is actually an easy one, except for the fact that I don't even know what it's actually called. It's one that they roll the dough in like maybe walnuts or something. And then it's like just covered in powdered sugar. And they're just like small little round. They almost look like little snowballs. Maybe they're even called that. I don't even know. And all the bakers out there are yelling at the screen, I'm sure. Yes. I don't bake. I cook. I cook all day, every day. Well, not all day, every day, but you know what I mean? I cook all the time. That's my thing. I don't bake. I almost never bake unless it's like under duress, basically. So I don't know what any of these cookies are called. I just know that I love those. I have no idea why. There's nothing special to them. They're like just, they crumble and break apart and they make a mess.
I know the ones you're talking about. I don't know.
You do? Do you know the name?
I don't know the name, but I can promise you that my mom, who will watch this, we'll turn around and tell me exactly what those are called.
Oh, thank you, Clay's mom. Thank you. Clay's mom, if you want to send them over, I mean, I'm not going to say no. Look at me. I'm like a little beggar. I'm like a beggar. I'm like, if you want to send me pajamas, if you want to send me eggnog.
A blue bottle of eggnog and some cookies. And yeah.
Yeah. So much for that whole thing where I was like, oh, I don't care about presents. I just want the food. But it's accurate. That's food. I'm all about the food.
Sure. It's food. Yeah.
All right, let's see. What have I got for you? Okay. Christmas at home or away? Like, do you prefer to be home for the holidays or do you like to go elsewhere?
I have done so much of both. And obviously with the you know, the career that I had,
yes.
Away has a very different meaning. I spent, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 Christmases away.
That's rough.
That I can remember, or that off the top of my head, I think the number is 4. You know, those are a challenge. I in most cases, they are somewhat business as usual. I won't say they're just another day because they're not. Right. In fact, good organizations would take every precaution to, you know, keep everybody safe on Christmas. As best they could, because, you know, the last thing you would want, and I'm not trying to be a downer, but the last thing you would want is to lose somebody on a holiday like that, because for that individual's family.
Right.
I mean, you're risking wrecking Christmas forever.
Right.
So we would take things, we would be very, very careful on those days, to the point of, you know, even not conducting operations potentially, to protect everybody on that day. But those Christmases were tough. I, you know, been stationed all over the place and some years didn't have the opportunity to be with family or be, you know what I mean? Didn't get a chance to do the travel and would just be at home and those kinds of things. I would tell you that I prefer the a little bit of hustle and bustle at Christmas. I actually do. It's tiring. It's exhausting, but you know, it brings me back to when I was a kid, which was, you know, just that 36 hours is just a madhouse. Mm-hmm. And I actually don't mind that at Christmas time. I think it's fun. It's exhausting as long as I get older, as long as there's time on the backside to take a nap for a day.
Recovery time.
Be busy and running around on Christmas. Mm-hmm. I see you as like people, like the whole family, like big Christmas. That's how I picture Elsa.
Yes. That's accurate. I love it. If everyone was here, where I am, I definitely would love that. I love hosting. Like I love cooking for my family. I love the whole process of getting ready for company, you know, just decorating and, you know, being so extra as if that's a surprise that I would be extra, but you know, just like all the, you know, just extra everything and just making everything pretty and having the Christmas music playing while I'm cooking and I love it. And the fireplace going, like, I love that with all my heart. But since the babies and my other daughter are in Florida, you know, so we've been going there the past several years now. So one day, hopefully soon, I will get to host that holiday again. So yeah, I do love it. I love it.
So are you, this actually just is not on my list of questions, but you just brought it up. You've been spending, and I've spent a number of warm weather Christmases as well. Would you rather the warm weather Christmas or would you rather the snowy, like, you know, white Christmas, you know, from TVs and movies? You want snow sun? What do you want?
It's so funny that you asked that because I actually have that on my list to ask you. So we'll call it a mutual question, right?
All right.
I'm a palm tree girl. I am throw some Christmas lights around that palm tree. I'm good with that. I am good with that. Put some snow on the big screen TV there and I'll pretend that, I am more than fine with the not white Christmas. You know, I'll take the white of the white beaches of Florida. You know, but I don't have a problem with it. It's going to take me a very long time to miss snow once I'm truly away from it.
Sure.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm cold, not brutal. Like nobody, you know what I mean? Like, not to be too picky, but like the 29 degree falling snow, like that kind of is to me is perfect. You know, not the -6. Everything covered
in ice. Forget that. Like that. They can pick that.
But I do like the Christmas feeling with the cold and the snow and you know, and that kind of thing. Even with, like I said, even with the hustle and bustle, the driving around and going to places and everything. As long as you're in a place where people know how to drive in the snow, which you know is not anywhere in and around the Mason-Dixon line because they get snow and still don't know how to drive in it. I do like the cold, I do like the snow for Christmas. So that would be my preference for sure.
Yeah. I will say though, that now that I work from home, like full time from home, I when I look out that window and it's cold and it's snowing or it's raining or sleeting or any of the icky things, I smile. Cause I'm inside and I don't have to go anywhere. I'm like, you know what? I don't care. Let it snow. Of course I had to add the third time, literally, you know?
Yes.
So yeah. No, I feel you. Who's supposed to ask now, me or you? I don't even know.
I asked, it was a mutual question. So you can go ahead.
Okay. Let's see. Gifts. Do you want to be surprised or do you want to already know what the gifts are going to be?
So I told you I'm the worst person to shop for, mostly because I will buy for myself, but also because I am the most obstinate SOB when it comes to presents. I will pester. I will interrogate. I will always want to know beforehand.
That's
and I'm always happy and surprised when somebody successfully surprises me with a good present, because it's so rare, because I am such a pain in the ass about it. and I don't know why, but I've always been that way. I've been that way since I was a kid. I've been that way through my adulthood. So if somebody can pull it off and, and really surprise me for Christmas, then those are the best ones. But I honestly make it extremely difficult to pull that
one off. That's funny. I'm actually exactly the same way. I am relentless, and I won't stop until I wear you down and you tell me what it is. And I'm also, excuse me, I'm also awful in the, when I'm the purchaser, the giver of the gifts, I'm the one going, I got you a present. Do you want to know what you got? Do you want to know? Do you want to know? Do you want to? And my husband is so chill. My husband's like, no, I can wait. I'm good. I can wait. And I'm like, no, you want to know. I know you want to know, don't you? Yeah. So I'm just all around obnoxious. Yeah. Oh, well.
No comment. All right. I'm going to put a, I'm going to throw my political, I'm going to do my politics question. So we'll get this one in here. And I know, you know, you're church going type. You're not Catholic, right?
Nope, Christian.
Okay. So that's what I thought. I grew up Catholic, 8 years of Catholic school, the whole nine yards. So here's the trifecta question. It's a holiday, politics, and religion question. So as a Catholic, and I use that term very, very loosely when it comes to the president. He is Catholic.
Right.
He goes against a number of the stances of the church. Mm-hmm. And when I say the church, I mean the Vatican, especially when it comes to, you know, pro-life, pro-choice. Should he be allowed to attend Christmas Mass?
Ooh, wow. So, oh my gosh, that's a tough one. So I think I would say yes, with a bit of, a disclaimer, I guess, that I think it takes a lot of audacity for him to, but it's also unsurprising that he would. I mean, they just, you know, everything they do is just for show. And, you know, so for me, you know, he's a Catholic in name only. So I think it's kind of disgraceful and hypocritical. It was really what it is to show up and to, you know, make your appearance and all of those things. And, you know, I think it only just shows a blatant hypocrisy. So I don't think that he should in that sense. But I also think that he shouldn't be not allowed. You know what I mean? So yeah, I think that's kind of my feeling on that. I just, you know, you see so much these days that, you know, people try on all of these hats for show, you know, religiousness, religiosity. I don't know. I can't, there we'll go with the first one. You know, and they put them on when it serves a purpose for them and furthers their agenda. And, you see it with celebrities right now. I don't know if you saw it or if you would even know who these people are, but I just saw or person, there's a rapper. And I know I'm kind of going astray slightly here. But there's a rapper that goes by the name of Lil Nas. And he kind of shot to fame because he did this country rap type song with Billy Ray Cyrus. And this thing was huge. And I'll pipe it in here after so people can know what I'm talking about. Can't nobody tell me nothing. It was huge, 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 just skyrocketed his recognition factor, but primarily to young kids. Like he was performing at elementary schools and middle schools all across the country. And then once he got this high amount of fame, you know, the peak of his 15 minutes, he just did this complete turnabout and embraced this whole Satan, performative Satan worshiping crap is what it is. And I mean, the videos all highly offensive and so much.
Okay.
So anyhow, all of a sudden now, you know, his team must have said, listen, you're, you know, nobody cares about you anymore. Nobody's paying any attention, but that Christian stuff, people seem to be getting into that Christian stuff. Let's jump on that bandwagon, you know, let's jump on that. So now he puts out a statement that he's in his, you know, something, either his religious error or Christian error, faith error. I forget exactly how he put it, but we're going to go with Christian. He says, I'm entering my Christian era. Obviously it's a gimmick. Obviously it's a game. You know, that he's playing and all of that. But my point of saying all of that is that if anything that anyone does in the name of embracing faith, embracing their religion or faith, whatever you want to call it, and it makes somebody else say, you know, let me look at this, let me check this out and see if it's something I'm interested, then it has served a purpose and I can get past it. And that's where I kind of, you know, we'll give a little bit of a pass to Biden and anyone else that is going to, you know, make the show of going to church and pretending to be a good Catholic boy. You know what? Maybe it'll inspire somebody to do the same, but in a genuine way. So that was an extremely long answer to a nice, perfect, short question.
So your answer is yes.
My answer is yes. And I gave it so many disclaimers and caveats.
I get it. And I think, you know, your last point, of bringing attention to organized religion in any form or fashion in a day and age when truthfully organized religion is challenged,
yeah, right?
New membership in churches is
right
on the down. I mean, it has been for a while. Mm-hmm. You know, our grandparents, the generation of our grandparents were, you know, hugely into organized, you know, going to mass or church or service every Sunday, whatever faith you belong to, or every weekend, you know, I mean, you know, Jewish faith, Saturdays, you know, all that.
Right.
So, but they were much more into it than our generation. And, you know, you have to assume that unless there's a pendulum swing, our kids will be less
apt
to attend than we were and so on and so forth. So yeah, there is value in that. And even truthfully, if it, you know, I'm not a practicing Catholic. I don't hide behind that. God and I have a great relationship. There's no atheists in foxholes. I'm a big believer in that. I talk to God all the time. But I'm not a churchgoer and I don't go to mass. But I will say that, you know, the Vatican and the Catholic Church as a whole is in some turmoil right now because there's some progressionist movements within the church that have been challenged. In fact, there's a U.S. bishop just lost his retirement entitlements.
Yes, lost his
apartment in Vatican City that he's entitled to for a lifetime of service because he's disagreed with the Pope and he disagrees with the Pope about some progressionist views.
Mm-hmm.
All that being said, the discussion and the attention that organized religion is starting to get is at least making people discuss it again, where, you know, it was falling off. Nobody was paying attention. Nobody really talked about it or thought about it. And it was all on the down. So, you know, I hate to say any publicity is good publicity, but that really is kind of what it is.
Absolutely. And it, you know, I think you're exactly right. It sparks conversations and, you know, a lot of times those conversations are contentious and, you know, and that's unfortunate. And I 100% get the whole distaste for, Catholicism specifically, because of what goes on in the church and the mixed messages. And of course the history of really bad things that have, you know, come to light over the many, many years. I completely understand why people have turned away from the church. And I can tell you, honestly, I had no interest in it. And again, anybody watching or listening, not trying to convert you, not trying, just, this is my story. This is for me. And, you know, everybody does what they want and no judgment on my part. But for me, I knew that, you know, I had no interest in the Catholic Church. I had no interest in religion. I kept saying, you know what? Same thing you said. I'm like, you know what? I talk to God all the time. I have a relationship with God. And to me, that is what faith is, a relationship with God. And that was just my thought over the many, many years. And then somebody said, well, you know, you sound like a Christian. You realize that, right? I'm like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, religion and all of that stuff was out of my wheelhouse. Not like you. I didn't grow up in church and all of those things, none of it. So, and that, encouraged me to explore that. I'm like, well, am I a Christian? I don't even know what I think of that. And lo and behold, it was like, yeah, well, Christianity is all about being a follower of Christ, not about a church. Of course, there is church and we go to church, and but it's about the Bible. You learn from the Bible and you learn what scripture says and how it relates to you and your life. And I'm like, well, this is what I've been looking for. This is what I just want a direct line. I want a direct line. I don't want to go through, you know, this fallible human who makes just as much mistakes and errors that I do in telling me how I should feel and what I should, you know. And I think that's a general feeling people have, right? Like, you know, this guy can't even get married and he's going to tell me, you know, about marriage, what marriage is like. Come on, you know. But not to get on the whole, you know, religious thing, but that was it in a nutshell for me. And I think, like you said, a lot of people are exploring now, you know, what it means to them and if it resonates, you know, but at least, like you said, at least people are talking about it and, you know, hopefully people can have nicer conversations about it instead of the contentious ones, but you know, we are who we are as people. All right.
You're up.
I'm up. I'm so bad at this. I'm always like, what? Oh, so, you know, my political question kind of sucks after yours, because yours stayed in the theme and I wasn't really thinking when I came up with mine. I'm like, I didn't even think about putting it in the theme of Christmas. Okay. So forgive me for that. But I was just curious, and I don't foresee this happening anytime soon or at all, but if Nikki Haley were to drop out, and I know I'm making a big assumption that that's, you know, 100% your pick, but I know you like her. If she were to drop out, who would be your next in line pick?
Assuming no Trump nomination.
Yeah, let's assume that. I mean, we know that's the given, but or probably the given. I shouldn't say definitely the given, but
yeah. I mean, it's got to be DeSantis. I mean, it has to be. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not Vivek. I'm personally unimpressed with the guy. That's me. It is not a chance. Not a snowball's chance in hell. Is it Chris Christie?
Nope. I knew exactly where you were going with that.
Yeah. What's his name? Bergman, whatever his name was. He just bailed.
Yesterday, right? Yeah.
Or maybe early this morning. I don't know. I didn't even know he was still in, to be honest with you.
I thought he was gone too. I read it a little while ago. I'm like, I thought he was already out.
Yeah, I thought he bailed already. So
yeah.
Yeah, I thought we were down to like a legitimate, you know, three or four. But for me it would have to be DeSantis. Out of the remaining viable candidates, because Chris Christie's an absolute no. Not a chance.
No,
but again, that is assuming, you know, the no Trump nomination, you know, outcome, depending on how that plays. But yeah, for sure. And it'll get down. You know, Christie says he's in it till the end. You know, we'll see who loses their nerve next. I don't know. I can't see the four of them running all the way down to, you know, the GOP nomination. They might, but I can't see it. You know, never believe what politicians say. So as much as Christie said, I'm in it till the end, that, you know, probably holds not a lot of water.
Agreed.
So it's either viably, as a viable candidate, it's either him or Christie. Christie or Vivek, or then one of the next two of them is on their way out next.
Yeah.
Like it's one of them, because it's not DeSantis and it's not Nikki Haley. They're both doing too well. They're both contending. She's kind of on the up. He's kind of holding steady. She's catching him, or, you know, or they're getting to be equal. It's got to be Vivek, and a smart businessman, as he purports himself to be, he should be the next one out. Because now he's just burning capital.
Absolutely. So, yeah, he's probably just looking for a soft landing. Probably looking for a deal. You know, some kind of a who knows correspondent job.
Or dignified way to walk away.
Yeah. Exactly. He's probably my guess. Honestly, is that he's hoping that Trump will wave a biscuit in front of him and say, you know, come on over here. I think that's what he's probably hoping for.
You're right. Out of who's left, he is the only one who is. If that's the only pool we're pulling from, he's the only one that's left to be picked as a vice presidential candidate without a lot of, like, you know, people standing there going, whoa, because he's not picking this. We've already discussed this. He's not picking DeSantis. Oh, yeah.
Not in a million years.
He's certainly not picking Chris Christie. And he's, you know, probably not picking Nikki Haley.
Right. He would be wisest to pick Nikki Haley. She would be the most absolute perfect pick, in my opinion. Absolute most perfect pick. I think that is a, in my mind, that is such a no-brainer that that should be the ticket. But we'll see what happens. You know, I can't imagine any thinking person who is in this, you know, thought process here of all the choices would say anyone but her, but you know, who knows?
Hey, let's put a pin in that one for maybe in a few months or a few. Yeah. Let's do a few months and we'll figure out maybe after New Year's, we'll talk about who the viable VP candidates are. We might have to do some digging on that one. Cause you know,
I think so.
It's always kind of come out of nowhere. Oftentimes be unknowns, but you know, that's an interesting discussion too. As much as everybody likes to talk about President Biden's age, and I know that President Trump is healthier in general,
right?
He is still not a young man.
Yeah. I mean, so it's a vice, very true.
Vice presidential candidate matters as much for him as it does for President Biden. Mm-hmm. So that's a discussion we probably need to have.
Absolutely. And last thing I'll say on that for this night is that, you know, I wonder, and we'll pin this too as part of the conversation, I wonder if Biden's health decline will impact Trump in the sense that that's the conversation. Like we just had this 80, you know, nearly 90 year old guy who's clearly in cognitive decline. Do we want to go through that again? Do we really want to put our country through this again? You know? So, I mean, that really could technically impact Trump, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see. That'll be a conversation for another show. Right. Yeah.
No, it's good. All right. So it's back to me.
Back to you.
Let's see. One big present or lots of little presents? I know your food. I know you picked food, but would you rather have, like, I think back to when I was a kid, right? Was it like, did you want to come downstairs and like that, the shine, whatever it was, you know, the Red Rider BB gun, the new bike, the whatever it was, would you rather have the big one or would you rather have a bunch of little ones to sort through?
I'm still that little kid. I want a bunch of little ones to open. Like the big one is so cool. It's like the big, but I like the prolonged, you know, like that was our favorite thing at my grandmother's house because it was always there. That Christmas tree was so like the presents went from one end, like there wasn't enough room under the tree. They literally went from one end of the corner of the living room all the way to the other. And the mound was so high and it was for everybody, you know, not just obviously for me, but that was so exciting to like go through. Like the kids were tasked with the job of like finding their presents under the tree. And because there were so many, my grandmother would like strategically place them like all in different places. So you really had like search and, you know, and it was like, it took a long time and we were opening presents for, you know, it wasn't the traditional like 2 seconds, you know, when everything's like torn apart because you had to like look for it and look and, you know, and when every time you picked up something that wasn't for you, you had to bring it over to the person that it belonged to. Like you couldn't just toss it aside and, you know, worry about just yourself. But I like lots of little things to open would be cool.
I was, you know, we kind of got to the, you know, I guess probably in my early teens, maybe. It was like, okay, you're getting like, if you want something, because obviously as you get older, your tastes get a little more expensive, right? The things that you want.
Yes.
So you would get, you know, you ask for one big thing, you would generally get one big thing, but I do remember very similar to what you're talking about. My dad's side of the family on Christmas Eve, right? Mm-hmm. It would be my grandparents and our family. And, you know, my great grandmother was alive for a number of years when I was a kid. And then my dad's sister or sisters, whoever was there, you know, and their families and, you know, for opening presents. So it was torturous for kids because it was like, you'd get there and then you'd have to wait. And then there would be dinner and then after dinner and furniture around but you would have piles, right? Everybody got a pile.
I love it.
We would go from youngest to oldest one at a time. So you would open one present and then it would go to the next person and then the next person, then the next person. And then the piles would dwindle. And then when you got down to one, you waited because then everybody would get one in the final round. But if you ran out early, you were sitting there for like round after round after round, after round, waiting for everybody to open their presents to get down to one. So you could get down to, you know, to the last one. And a lot of times, you know, it was presents from my grandparents. And they, you know, my grandmother would be like, no, no, no. Like, you'd be in the middle. So one of the kids would be playing Santa Claus and dishing out presents to everybody. And, you know, you'd bring it over to somebody and my grandmother would go, no, no, no. Put that one back. Save that one to the end. Make that one the last one and bring them something else, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's right. Yes.
But yeah. But you'd sit there for like, if you were the first one to get down to one, you were like, okay. You know, and it's like a, you know, preteen 7, 8, 9 year old. It was like,
oh, yeah. That's
brutal. To watch everybody else opening presents. It was terrible.
That's so funny. Yeah. I'm like so obsessive about having lots of things to open that I even, for my kids' stockings, like, I think most people, or I was told at least, I don't know, I've always done the same way, but I was told that like when people put the stocking stuffers in, like they're not wrapped. It's just like in there. I wrap every single little thing, a little thing of Lifesavers. It's wrapped, you know, you got to open it, you know, a little new toothbrush. It's wrapped. Like every single thing is wrapped in, you know, so they have more things to open and
to open.
They love it too. They always loved it too. So, all right. Is it my turn? Yeah, it's my turn. I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you know, my brain is like a sieve, everything. Did I already ask you this? Real tree or fake? I didn't ask you that, right?
Ask me that.
Okay. Okay. So real tree or fake?
I, you know, again, over all the years of moving around, the fake tree became most practical.
Yeah.
But so in a perfect world, it's real tree. Mm-hmm. In a perfect world. But the close second is the fake tree that is pre-lit.
Yes.
That's
upstairs right now.
Greatest. Yeah. Oh, you just, you know, you put it together, you fold it out, you plug it in. The lights are already built into the tree. Right. And all you gotta do is put the ornaments on it. That is the greatest thing. I love that. That makes Christmas so easy. And truthfully, in the days of many houses no longer having a fireplace, mm-hmm. like we had a fireplace when I was growing up, like a legitimate fireplace that we used. And after Christmas, a number of years, my dad would, you know, take the Christmas tree, because we had a real Christmas tree for a long time. You know, he would take it and chop it into sections or whatever, and we would burn the pine in the fireplace, which smells amazing, you know. Mm-hmm. So even into January and that kind of thing, you'd get that good pine smell. But yes, awesome. Real tree for sure. And then the very close second is the pre-lit fake tree.
Absolutely. Yeah. It took me several years to get on board with the artificial tree. I was a diehard, always real tree, no matter what. And it was because when I was a kid, when I was little, we grew up in an apartment complex and we weren't allowed to have real trees because fire hazard. And I kind of like, wow, well, my mother technically, I think, started when they bought their first house. My mother was adamant that we would never have a fake tree ever again, you know, real trees or nothing. And so I kind of grew up with that mentality. And a few years back, probably like 4 years back, my husband had to kind of have run a little intervention with me. And he said, okay, so listen, he's like, listen, sit down, hon. We need to talk about the tree situation. He says, I know you love the real tree. I love the smell of the real tree, but you kind of don't remember to water the tree. I never water the tree. I water it the first 2 days and then I'm over it. And I mean, talk about the ultimate fire hazard, right?
Yes.
Like, it's no joke. I mean, it's no joke. And he finally like scared some sense into me. You know, I think he probably like sent me, you know, a couple of tree fire videos of like just how quickly they started, you know, because also notorious for forgetting to unplug the lights or, you know, whatever. Now they have timers, but so I finally gave in grudgingly. I was very, you know, crotchety about the first artificial tree that we got. But now I love it because same thing. It's, you know, it's got all the lights attached. I wasn't going to put one up this year because we were going to we'll be in Florida. Sure. And at the last minute, I was like, you know what? We got to do it. You got to have the tree up. You need it. And we put it up and it was so easy. It was done in 5 minutes, you know. So yes, I'm finally team fake tree.
There you go.
Yes.
All right. So do you watch the old Claymation Christmas specials? And if you do, which one is your favorite? And there's really only one right answer.
Oh, I mean, hopefully we're always on the same page, it seems like. So we're going to find out now. It's like the drum roll, please. Rudolph.
It's John Cornelius, the bubble.
Yes, you got Cornelius. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Island of Misfit Toys. Yes.
Who are you?
Who am I? The name's Yukon Cornelius, the greatest prospector in the North. This is my land. And you know, it's rich with gold. Gold!
Abominable. Yes. Everything about it is everything. Hermie, the dentist. I want to be a dentist.
Do you mind telling me what you do want to do?
Well, sir, someday I'd like to be a dentist.
A dentist?
It just brings me joy.
Yeah.
Pearl Ives as the, you know.
Yeah, it's Frosty the Snowman. Yeah, he was the narrator. Yeah.
So great. And you know what? I was thinking I wasn't gonna watch it this year because, well, no reason actually. And now I'm like, no, of course I'm gonna watch it. What kind of monster doesn't watch that?
I think it's actually already been on. I think it's, I mean,
you I bet it has. I think they do it in November, don't they?
Yeah, I think you would stream anything now so you can still find it. But I think, I think it was actually Thanksgiving weekend. I think it might have been that Saturday or maybe that Sunday. It was shortly after Thanksgiving.
They still keep that tradition. I love that. Do you remember? I don't know if you're a Wizard of Oz kid or not, but I remember every, yes. Yeah.
It's my sister's, always my sister's birthday.
Oh,
we would have, it seemed like every year it was always in and around, or actually most times it was the Saturday night that we had people over to the house to celebrate my sister's birthday. We had Wizard of Oz all the time. Yeah.
That's so awesome. Yeah. For some reason we always watched it like, and it was like, that was like the post Thanksgiving. It was like, it started with Wizard of Oz. And then I don't know why, to tell you the truth, but it rolled into all the Christmas ones and you'd watch, you know, Rudolph and Frosty the Snowman and It's a Wonderful, and then you go into all the grown-up ones and, you know, so those are the ones that I have to watch every year. I absolutely have to watch It's a Wonderful Life, of course. And one that not everybody apparently knows, it's called The Bishop's Wife, and it's with Cary Grant, who is my all-time favorite. So that's another Christmas, but those are the ones I have to watch along with Rudolph, the traditional ones. But yeah, I love all that stuff. Oh, it's so fun. I don't even know where we are in questions. Let's see. Okay. This one, a little convoluted because I really couldn't word it right, but we'll see if you understand what I'm saying here. Okay. Do you have a Christmas memory that at the time it was not a good memory, but looking back on it now, it is a funny or nice memory?
So my mom for years when I was growing up was a seamstress. She had her own business. For a years it ran out of our house, and then she actually opened a shop, like, you know, in our town. And she ran a great business for a number of years. And my dad was a blue collar guy. We always had a pickup truck with a cap on the back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we would drive around, you know, because it was the 80s, we would drive around with the kids in the back of the pickup truck with the cap on it. Even in the wintertime, that was kind of how we got around. But my mom had a metal yardstick,
mm-hm,
right? So, and I had my Christmas story moment in the back of the pickup truck. The metal yardstick was back there. My mom's metal yardstick from her seamstress work, back of the pickup truck, wintertime. I'm 100% sure we were driving home from my grandparents, mm-hmm, on Christmas Eve and stuck it to my tongue. And I panicked and I ripped it off.
No.
Yeah. I ripped it off. I didn't say anything to anybody. You know, it didn't bleed. May have. I honestly don't know, but I panicked. I ripped it off. And then, you know, as soon as we got home, you know, so my little sister's younger than me, and I think I was probably in and around the age where, you know, maybe Santa's not as relevant, but she definitely was still on board. Mm-hmm. So we got home and it was late, and it was like, everybody's got to go to bed because Santa's going to be here. And I was happily like, I'm going to bed, because, you know, my tongue. So, you know, the next morning I didn't eat breakfast. It was still torn up. And yeah. But now I look back and I'm like, it is funny.
It's funny.
Just a typical, like, absolute kid panic for no reason. It's not like my parents were going to get mad at me, you know, what I mean, or yell at me on Christmas Eve. But I stuck it. It was like, And I ripped it right off.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
My stomach did like a somersault when you said it. I was like, oh my god, no.
Funny now.
It's then, hilarious
very, very,
now.
Very serious business for a kid in and around, you know, 9 or 10 years old that,
My gosh, that's rough. All right. Was that all of them? Do you have one last one for me?
Have one more, and it's a great, kind of ender because it's not Christmas. It's New Year's.
Ooh. Okay.
Do you, and I do not at this point in my life, do you still stay up until midnight on New Year's?
Well, yes and no. Like if I'm up, great, but it's not like a great effort to be up. It all depends on what's going on. Like if we're home, I have no problem going to bed before the ball drops or it is a ball or a bell. I don't even know what it is. Excuse me. Yeah. It all depends. If we're out, which I don't really care to go out for New Year's. I like being home. Like, well, our favorite New Year's that we've had over the years have been when we get like lobster and like we do like this whole seafood thing. And it's just us. And, you know, we drink and talk and, you know, play music and have a good old time. And it's nice and quiet. And I love that. Yeah. It's not obvious. I'm a total homebody. So I'm like totally good with that. But now with my husband being in a band, there's been a couple of years where his band has actually played and I've been forced to be out and, and festive and all that. But, you know, when we get to our age range, it's like, oh, that's all fine and good, except for when you got to drive home with all the drunken idiots. And
that's exactly right. And I hate to say it, but that's the turnoff now.
That is.
We all know we're all older now. We're all a little, bedded in reality. And it's like the risk of being out on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day after midnight, you know, the 1 o'clock in the morning thing.
Right.
Is high, and it's higher than it should be. And it's really not worth it.
Not at all.
Like I said, I don't drink anymore. So, you know, back in the old days, you know, I'll stay up as long as you want me to, but you know, now it's, I hate to say without that, it's a little bit less, you know, especially if you're out, like, you know, people, you know, it was always big in Chicago. You would go, you know, where I grew up and I would come home if I was home on leave or even when I was still in college, you'd go to a bar and you would pay the big cover, right? You know, whatever you want to classify as a big cover, even back in the 90s, you know, $50,
right?
But it was $50 and there was hors d'oeuvres and all you could drink and, you know, all the beer you could drink maybe and maybe not, you know, liquor was, you know, you still had to pay for it. Whatever it was always a deal.
Right.
And, you know, sure, I'll go do that. Yeah. Yeah, until they kick us out of the bar. But those days are long, long gone. Zero desire to go play those games.
Nope. Same. Now I can't be bothered. No, there's got to be a really big reason for us to go out and brave peopling and, you know, and all that stuff. But And I do love like the whole new year, fresh start thing. You know, I'm not actually a big resolution, you know, making resolutions and stuff like that, but I love the newness of it. Like I do get like wrapped up in that excitement of like, it's a new beginning. It's like a whole new chapter starting. And I think that's kind of like exciting and inspiring. It's like, oh my God, you know, we've got another year of, you know, hopefully great things happening and trying to make great things happening and the anticipation of what might come. So I do like all that. I just don't like the New Year's Eve stuff.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the new year and the new start right up until the first time that I write the wrong date on something and then just irritated.
Yes, drives me nuts. I do it every year. It takes me months to get out. Months before I get it right.
Thank God we're not writing checks as much as we used to.
You aren't kidding. That was always the culprit. That was always the one, right? Yeah.
Always the one. Yeah.
Oh man. All right. Well, look at us. That was so much fun. We did it. We did a whole just under an hour of like super fun holiday questions and quizzes.
The 2024 and we're not, you know, we're obviously it's not like we're taking a break for the rest of the year, but you know, we need this. It's a long haul to the election. That's something that's not going away. And I think, you know, we're both of the mindset that we're going to have to take some breaks along the way.
Because it's
a long road.
Yeah, I think you're right, Clay. I think we'll probably do like our little winter break. We'll put the dates on there and everything, so everybody knows when we're taking a little pause, and we'll play back some maybe best of episodes or something. But yeah, definitely, we got a lot of stuff to do, just like you guys. So yeah, absolutely.
And it's a long road to next November. So, yes. I mean, we're not going to beat you guys, you know, or ourselves to death with election mm-hmm. stuff every week for the next, you know, 45 weeks or whatever it ends up being. Actually, it's really almost 52 weeks where we're at right now.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, we'll take, you know, occasional breaks and do something a little bit lighthearted now and again, stuff like this. It's needed. It's good for all of us.
Oh boy, do we ever need it. You are so right. All right, my friends, we loved doing this episode for you and for each other. It was a lot of fun, and we will see you in the next one. Clay, you want to close them out?
You know me, keep moving, keep shooting.
I love it. We'll see you guys in the next one. Take care.